This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fourth and final hour of today's G-Bag Nation. We have Rangers pregame coming up at 6 o'clock. Time now for Lucius Alexander,
yes,
and
sir.
LA Live. Into the Pimp Cup we go.
Let's get into a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
Give me some oxygen.
It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Do you know what's missing from this LeBron Jordan GOAT debate? I think you can really tell who gave the game their all by the condition of their children. LeBron had kids that were in college, they're in commercials, they're in the NBA, clearly good, well-adjusted children. He dedicated too much time to fatherhood, time that could have been spent on the game. You know who was locked the f*** in? Jordan. His kids are coke heads, ketamine heads, getting arrested for DUI, swimming in white bitches. That kids, he was locked the f*** into the game. That's how you become the GOAT.
That's how you become the GOAT.
That's how you become the GOAT, bro.
Yeah, that is a sports take.
That is a hot take right there, bro.
That's good.
LA, this is LA Live for Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. Welcome, people. Welcome, Tolos. Welcome, first-time listeners and last-time listeners. How you doing?
Salute.
Yeah. LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Tis the season to go see those folks. Man, I see those, not this particular company, but I see the roofing guys working in my neighborhood, and they're taking these heavy 80-pound, like, shingles up that ladder. Yeah. You can see that ladder shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
God dog it, boy.
Yeah.
That's some work. That is some work, man.
They're unbelievable, really.
I mean,
the balance, the strength.
That might be one of the hardest jobs out here.
Yeah.
It really might be one of the hardest jobs. And send some love to Houston's Emmanuel Sharp. Okay. Those two turnovers in the last.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Dude, did you hear the stories of him crying in the back?
I don't. Yeah,
apparently,
I mean,
he was
wailing. I get it, dog.
Yeah.
He's jumped.
That was me.
It was.
Yeah.
He jumped up and put the ball in the floor. Mm-hmm. Dude, like, jumped, mm-hmm, left the air, and come on,
he
man.
He had to choose. Am I going to get this swatted?
God.
He should have thrown it off, dude.
Yeah. Yes. Or shot it or something, bro.
Yeah.
He'll never forget that for the rest of his life, man. So send that boy some energy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he needs it.
Yeah, really does. And for Eric, so Saturday, I was cleaning the house, listening to Shade 45, and they had Exhibit on with the overlapping.
Yes.
They also had Jay Farrell on. And Jay Farrell does, you know, great impersonations. He's a comedian and whatnot. So we're going to add another guy to the Overlaughing Hall of Fame. Who's on the list?
The Kelce brothers.
Yeah,
the Kelce brothers.
For sure. Yeah.
Sean and RJ.
Sean. Oh, might be me right there after that one. Yeah, Sean and RJ too, bro. That's funny. Okay, so they're going to tell a story. Let's see. Jay Farrow's going to do a Denzel Washington impersonation. He's going to be talking about the movie Gladiator. Pay attention to the exhibit's laugh here. Mr. Eric played this yesterday for you.
Never forget Denzel Washington in Glory. When
You made a lot of money in Gladiator too, huh?
Yeah, I did. You know, there was a lot of Romanesque things happening.
Oh, that's what that is?
That's right. It's a lot of Romanesque things happening. That's what was going down. That's what they did back. It was
they're
like
going to give him the Oscar for that.
That's right. It was like Diddy current day. That's what it was. That's right. Hey, look, that's what it is. It's just all about whatever they wanted. Hey, they see somebody off the street. They see a booty, whatever booty they like. They pick it up. They walk off and they say, thou, tis of thee. And they just, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's your cheeks good. Are clapped. There's nothing you can do. That's right. You're in a cast.
Hollywood. That's Hollywood.
That's
right.
Hollywood.
Bro, come on.
The laugh is incredible.
Come on, man. I want to replace that laugh. With the, remember the Joker laugh when he fell down the building?
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah. The whole 45 minutes, huh? He's just
I mean, dying, bro.
He doesn't even say anything. He starts laughing.
You don't have to say anything. Also, I was listening to Cam'ron and Mace this morning, and I said, you know what? This might not be the overlaughing Hall of Fame, but it's definitely like a goofy-ass laugh.
I got too many titles. If you go with Cold Cam, and now...
I'm going to add Cam'ron to the little laugh.
Yeah, put him in there. He definitely deserves a nomination.
I'll put that in there. All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all. Find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is Bobby, right? Still Bobby?
Yes, sir.
It's Bobby. Yeah. Bobby Belt dropped a diss track for Eric and Zach, and they voted for it.
It had to be you guys. Had to be the nosebleeds. I thought we were cool. Okay.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Stop and blare this music as I get into my story time. Zach and Eric blew it when they stopped Young Belted just for time. Burned a bit to know that they would go and pick a fight with me. I'll tourniquet these hoes because I know just how to stop a bleed. Let me start with Wolchuk and I'll send him to his mommy's arms. He thinks that he's LeBron, but let's be honest, can't play Bronny's part. Bronny's a hit so hard, he'll probably leave here with a busted lip. I'll post that shit on YouTube and I'll title it a custom vid.
Damn.
Got me feeling like it too brute. Bet the shit go 5 times and you have to hear it every day. Got that nostril plug, now the other one is trying to bleed. I forgot his name, like he's out here repping Micah P. Does he ever talk? I just don't know how Brody got this far. Probably should go back to selling all those busted lemon cars. She bag of the decade, get your vote right, she a follow, and get the EpiPen because these nuts you about to
Just been playing over and over in my head for the last 3 days,
jamming out to it in the car.
I'm like, man, this hits really nice. I wish this wasn't about me.
Yep. Wish it wasn't good.
Yeah, how about that? All right, man. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Be careful on your ride home. I see it's all packed out there, man.
Yeah, it is.
It is packed on these streets.
It is.
As always, Dallas, you be showing out on this traffic. I tell you what. How do y'all feel about tuna?
I mean, if it's grade A, top tier, kind of mercury free to some extent. Gosh, I love tuna, dude.
Okay, you down with tuna?
Big time.
Tuna sandwiches and all the other stuff.
Yes,
you eat
bro.
A tuna sandwich.
I'm about the tuna. I'll do the canned tuna.
You do the canned tuna.
Ooh. Absolutely.
Oh!
That's brutal.
There we go.
I think the canned tuna fish is horrible. But seared ahi. If you want to talk about that kind of like a tuna steak,
oh yeah, you know,
on
that's
the grill,
100%. Yeah,
unbelievable.
No,
it tastes like steak.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
No, that's different. How about you, Broadus?
All about the tuna.
Okay, you're cool with tuna. Canned tuna.
I will eat it if you doll it up. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I gotta add some things to it, but straight out of the can, not a chance.
I didn't know tuna was so controversial.
Yeah.
It was Sunday afternoon. I was watching just YouTube, and Lil Boosie came up.
Oh.
And Boosie is famous for his tuna.
Okay.
Making tuna. Boosie tuna, man.
Oh, tuna melter.
Everybody love my tuna, man. Not just canned tuna.
Oh, wow.
Mayo, pickles.
There you go.
Onions.
Okay. Yeah,
hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah,
all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, mix it up. Eat it with some Ritz crackers or Whatever you got to do.
It's fire, dude. Yeah. I like to put mustard in it, too. I'll put a little mustard in there.
Yep. Salt and pepper.
Yep.
Seasoned salt. Obey whatever you got going
on. Maybe a little lemon. Squeeze a little lemon in there.
Come on. Okay,
so you're dolling it up.
There's really a lot that you can put in there. Matthew McConaughey had a viral one a little while ago.
Okay.
He's emptying it out.
Yeah, I was craving it Sunday afternoon, man, so I told my old lady, and she was like, oh, that's peasant's food.
Oh! This ain't sardines.
Yeah, peasants' food.
That's crazy.
I had to look at it. I was like, well, you know we're peasants, right? I don't know if you looked at the tax return.
I don't know if you've seen that statement. This vacation we just spent.
Yeah. How about that? We aren't peasants.
Time to teach you a lesson in self-awareness, sugar.
How about that? So Little Boosie makes a sandwich, you know, a Boosie sandwich, a Boosie fish sandwich, if you will. How about that?
Boosie fish.
A Boosie fish. Oh, I'll let him tell you real quick. He likes to brag about it.
Got the Boosie world famous tuna.
Tuna, man.
We're going to do it with the bread, the Ritz, or the mini Doritos.
Oh, mini
Doritos. Hey, don't play with me. And this tuna I do, if I want to stretch it, and for a lot of people, I boil noodles and put noodles in them.
Noodles.
Yeah. No season on the noodles, just regular noodles.
Like hamburger helper, but tuna helper.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
And tuna pasta.
Yeah.
Ball them up till they swollen.
Swollen.
They thin, but they swollen. They soft, soft, soft. Telling you, bro, I'm hard, bro.
Oh.
Little kids love my tuna. Kids. Kids don't eat everything, bro. I'm telling you.
No.
Especially not my kids. Little kids love my tuna.
Yeah, so I went and made me some tuna.
Yeah.
It was tuna fire, man. With that good bread. I had some good bread.
Yeah.
It was fire.
It hits, man.
And the person that called it peasant's food was looking for it the next day.
Yeah.
She was looking for it the next day.
She asked for a bite.
She seen me with the Ritz crackers, and I was dipping that joint in there. Yeah. Tearing them up. She's like, hey, did you finish that tuna? Scratching her neck. You finished that tuna? Wasn't
that? It was peasant's food.
It was peasant's food. How about that?
Huh? Like a tuna melt, bro? Or like we'll make like a tuna quesadilla kind of situation?
I'm scared of the tuna melt because it's warm.
Okay, see, the idea of the tuna itself not being cold.
It might be great for all I know.
I hear you.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I just want
tuna noodle casserole. It's good.
And I like how nobody said tuna fish. We just called it tuna.
Just a tuna.
Just tuna.
If you had the fish, then it sounds gross.
Well, and like my man says right here.
You can't. Oh, why do we say tuna fish? We don't say chicken bird.
We don't say chicken bird.
Chicken bird.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Then we don't say chicken bird. Okay.
So it's just tuna.
It's just tuna. If it's just chicken. It's just tuna.
So you don't eat tuna fish?
I don't eat tuna fish. I just eat tuna. You know what I'm saying? Let's stop being redundant. Stop being redundant 2025.
Not wrong.
I'll get on board with that campaign.
Yeah, strong. I'm not mad at that.
Good point.
The chicken burgers.
That's awesome.
Let's see what else we got going on. LA Live 105.3 The Fan Toxic Tuesday. The LA Dodgers went to the White House to celebrate their championship.
They did.
Has anyone been to the White House in this?
No.
Only you?
Me and Broadus, I guess. Hey. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Broadus likes to go there in January.
Yep.
Yeah. Early January. Maybe the
6th. Yeah. Yeah, some Viking horns on his head.
Get out of my way.
Yeah.
Stop the steal.
Well, I think he put that on his license plate.
Have like a bear skin. Yeah. On him.
He had a crawfish boy out there that day, man. He was ready. He was partying. He was feeding everyone.
All right, let's get together here. Let's go.
Pass around the Blue Dolphins.
Where's Nancy? I just want to talk to her. Yeah. I just want to talk. Tell her to come outside. We just want to talk.
Where's Nancy?
Where's Nancy? Well, first off, there's peace on earth and goodwill towards man because Mookie Betts, who did not show up when the Red Sox won, he did not show up to the White House.
Yeah.
He said he will not miss this time. President Trump went over there and shook his hand. There's peace on earth now. They pieced it up.
Mookie, that guy can play, can he? I mean, unbelievable. Mookie is, I've been watching it. I don't want to say I watched him when he was on Boston, but I did. I didn't think that was a particularly good trade when they made it, and I happened to be right.
Happened to be right.
Of course he said he happened to be right.
I was right.
And you could buy a hat that says I'm right.
Go look it up. I told you I was right.
Yeah.
Speaking of shaking hands, he also shook hands with Dodger Max Muncy.
Yes.
Yeah, let's see. Big fan.
And Max Muncy, I want to congratulate Max.
Max. Max.
Come here, Max.
Arms are very strong when I touch them. Oh. I'm used to shaking politicians and hitting their arms like Jell-O. And now it's like steel, all these guys.
Keller High School's own Max Muncy.
Shook hands with the press right there.
Yep.
And the press called him strong. Hey, you're so strong. Let me feel your arms. Great arms.
He's one of those big home run hitters, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he give Otani off his desk? I was curious.
I didn't see that part.
Otani took,
I seen him go into the office, yeah, but I didn't click on the video and see what happened there.
Otani stood to his right, yeah, and he gave him something out off his desk. I thought he was going to give him, what, like a pen?
It's crazy because the president's usually on the receiving end of Oval Office transactions.
Well, they got the
I think it was a pardon for his gambling, actually.
You come here. Come on.
It's a pardon for gambling?
Like, yeah, yeah, that's the one.
I need another intern. Yeah, I get what you're saying. No, but President Trump was highly impressed with Shohei Ohtani.
He was.
He was highly impressed with him. And I am highly impressed with Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. My guy.
New guy, right?
The one that took the fall. That's a guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's my guy. The one that took the alleged fall.
eBay.
No problem.
Mizuhara.
Yeah. Yeah, is that his name?
I think so.
Mizuhara. Let's see. Before we get out of here, President Trump declined to introduce any of the senators in the room that were liberals.
Democrats from California.
We like them.
Congratulations, Brian. And others, we have a couple of senators here. I just don't particularly like them, so I won't introduce
them.
Oh!
Over the course of this amazing...
Oh, time out, bro. That is so rude. You got the L.A. Dodgers laughing at you now. You're a senator, bro. You know what I'm saying? You minding your business.
Yeah.
Trump cracks a joke and L.A. Dodgers looking at you like, ha, 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 ha. You already won the genetic lottery, bro. Don't laugh at me.
A couple of senators here I just don't particularly like them, so I won't introduce.
You!
Over the course of this amazing season, the members of this team...
He's laughing at himself.
I didn't think it was that big a deal, actually.
Washington. Do this all the time.
Yeah, I did the same thing when he touched.
See how I do the AP writers.
All right, man. Yeah, that's some toxic stuff, but it was still fun and whatnot. And don't be hating on tuna out here. Tuna is fire.
Yeah.
Fire. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise on a bucket naked Wednesday. I holla, peace.
There he goes. Lucius Alexander. Now, usually LA Live's 5:40 every night, but we're heading for early Rangers baseball today, so we're going to take you commercial free to the top. Sports all the way through. We'll get a proper round trip. We'll update you on everything that's been developing in your sports day coming up next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here in the nation. All right, welcome back. Lakers and Mavs on ESPN tomorrow night. Tim McMahon, ESPN, and author of the book The Wonder Boy about Luka, available now. Brian's been reading it. He loves it. So we'll talk with Timmy here about this matchup and all things Luka and Mavericks. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the Expressway is presented by the on-time experts. And a good afternoon, Tim. How the heck are you?
Hey, partners. How you boys doing?
Man, we are doing awesome. Saw you on TV earlier today. I wanted to get your thoughts on this Mike Malone story that the Nuggets coach fired. A pretty big surprise. Why'd they feel like they had to do this now?
Well, I was told that Josh Kroenke, the the guy in the ownership group, explained it this way. He felt that the plane was crashing and that Michael Malone and Calvin Booth couldn't fix the situation because they were too worried about their egos and their own power struggle. So there had been a season-long power struggle, really going back even before this season, between Michael Malone and Calvin Booth. They both ended up losing because they both ended up out of their jobs. And they're going to turn things over to a longtime assistant, David Adelman, and see if that can kind of salvage a situation that, again, the Nuggets ownership group had felt had turned sour and was destined for a likely first-round exit. The timing is awfully strange, but apparently this is something that they were thinking about doing before the All-Star break. Then the Nuggets won 8 straight games going into the break, so tough to pull the trigger at that time. But a pretty blatantly disrespectful way to fire the most successful coach in franchise history and a guy who won a championship just 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well said, man. Well, book's been out a couple of weeks now. How's the reaction been for you?
Yeah, I think the people that have read it have reacted favorably, and then there's a lot of people who haven't read it who don't like it. So I'll take that.
What was Luca's reaction to the whole book situation?
Honestly, I have not heard from Luca. I don't anticipate hearing from Luca. You know, when I first started working on the book, I had heard that he was not thrilled about that. And I think he relaxed when I made it clear to his people that this was not going to be about delving into his personal life or poking my nose in his personal business. It was a book about basketball and the business of basketball. And, you know, that's what I stuck to. And there was a lot of fascinating basketball and business of basketball during Luca's time in Dallas. I got to tell you, as I was writing the book, there was a lot of time I thought that this thing might end in the trade of Luca, but I never imagined it would be because the Mavericks decided to dump him. I mean, the whole book is kind of about the pressure on a franchise when you draft a prodigy through the prism of Luka and the Mavericks and this, you know, build it or they might leave kind of situation. And I never thought Luka wanted to leave Dallas, but I did think that that possibility might kind of punch him in the face, especially when they had a tank at the end of the season after the Kyrie trade. But they managed to succeed in the mission despite all kinds of twists and turns. And they went to the finals last year. And then, you know, I'm still flabbergasted about the decision to dump the guy before the very next trade deadline. But it happened, and here we are. And Luka is coming back to Dallas next week, but he ain't staying very long. Just a little in and out.
Unbelievable. It's Tim McMahon here with you on The Fan. I guess 6 weeks later, it's still surreal. Tim, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about some of those haters out there, and I think it's got to be frustrating for you because you do this job so well, the journalism, the toughness, the respect that you get from everybody out there in the game. But so many people have the opinion that maybe you were doing this to be a mouthpiece for Nico or some other nefarious motive. What do you have to say about those folks?
I mean, listen, I'm not going to try to change the opinion of people who clearly aren't listening or reading. You know, it is what it is. I had a big party here. Broadus was there, you know, and there was not a whole lot of extra room. So I don't need any more friends, I don't think. So I'm okay with all that.
Yeah, Tim, the book is incredible. The attention to detail that you know, even like the interviews that you had with these people, what they've told you about the background information, the stories, it really is. Congratulations on it. I'm halfway finished with it. I have a hard time of putting it down. It's just that good.
Well, I appreciate you, Brother Broadus. And all it took me was about, what, 8 or 10 free beers, and then suddenly you were on my side.
Well, you did write in my inscription to me that you said, thank you for not killing me that time when we worked together at ESPN. Because you and I did get nose to nose one time. And I said, but I remember going back to you and saying, listen, I'm glad you didn't kill me.
Yeah, my money be on Tim.
Yeah, I as I look back on that, Tim, you would have just pummeled me that day, but I appreciate you not doing that.
I doubt that. I did not lettering football at LSU, so I'm not sure that was one that I wanted to – a fight that I wanted to pick. But we both survived that.
We did.
Somehow, some way, just like somehow – you know, those guys have survived working with you for all this time. But, you know, I'm glad that everybody's okay.
Well, the only thing that surprises me about that story is it only took 8 to 10 beers there for Broadus.
Yeah.
It takes much more for us.
I might be underestimating.
Tim, I wanted to pick your brain on the cultural differences here with some of these now. We got European, international superstars, Jokic. We saw after he won with Denver. All he wanted to do was get the hell back home. He's like, oh my gosh, we got to have a parade. And Mark Cuban was just talking with Stephen A. about maybe not understanding the cultural differences with Luka. I mean, how much of that do you think played a role? And then moving forward, teams are going to have to understand the way of life is different compared to maybe what we're used to seeing the Jordans and the Kobes in America.
You know, I heard Cuban say that, and I don't know if it was cultural differences that led to this divide between Luka and Nico. You know, Nico obviously wants to compare everybody, every star, to Kobe Bryant. Luka, frankly, like, has a different approach. Would you like – but and here's one reason I say I don't think it's a cultural thing. basically you're talking about like this maniacal commitment to diet and conditioning. Well, last I checked, Dirk's from Europe.
Yeah.
Like, did Dirk not epitomize that? Mm. That like, it's, you know, so I think these are individual. Look, they're American guys. I don't know, Shaq. I understand Patrick Dumont used him as an example, a guy with incredible work ethic, but simple fact is Shaq is American, and he played his way into shape every single year. He was also just unbelievable talent and was an all-time great despite that. And again, I've said it 100 times, the conditioning concerns with Luka are legitimate concerns. They were concerns in the pre-draft process. They've been concerns throughout the course of his career. And throughout the course of his career, which he should just be entering his prime now, he's been a 5-time first-team All-NBA selection. He's led the league in scoring. You know, he took a team to the finals a couple of years after taking a completely different supporting cast to the conference finals. You know, this is not a guy who we're looking at and saying, hey, he has the potential to become something. He is proven to be a perennial MVP candidate. So is he perfect? No. Does he have flaws? Yes, they're obvious. But, I mean, I can't sit here and argue that the flaws outweigh the incredibly historic production that this guy's had. And, you know, you can't say, hey, you can't win with that guy when, yeah, you can and you have.
It's Tim McMahon here with you from ESPN on the Fan.
Hey, Tim, I don't know if I asked this. I know I didn't ask you at the book signing, though, but is there people within the Mavericks organization that could have stepped in and made maybe change the direction? Is there people in the front office that could have, you know, that could have had a voice and said, listen, you're making a mistake, Nico, doing this? Or was it people just that fearful of their jobs with Nico?
I can't speak on the behind-the-scenes conversations with absolute certainty, so I just want to clarify that.
Sure.
What I can tell you is I don't believe this was a unanimous decision. I do believe that there were people who, you know, tried to prevent it from happening.
Okay.
Now, also, very intentionally, Mark Cuban was completely cut out of not just these conversations, but all basketball matters for the Mavericks since basically the day that the ink dried on him selling the franchise, or the majority share of the franchise. We all know this deal doesn't happen if Mark Cuban's still in control. But despite what he said at the time, and if you believe him, despite what was promised to him, he has zero control in basketball operations. He has no more say than any other rich dude who has courtside season tickets. And, you know, that was clear well before this deal and, you know, crystal clear after the deal. You know, Cuban tried to talk Nico out of it, but the deal was done by the time they gave Cuban a heads up. Sure. Patrick Dumont, obviously, he has veto power. He didn't solicit the opinion of anybody else.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he gave Nico free rein. Dumont, who's been the owner of an NBA franchise for a little over a year now, didn't feel like it was, necessary to gauge Cuban's opinion on the matter. Didn't feel like it was necessary to, you know, give Dirk a call and say, hey, what do you think of this?
Sure.
If either of those things would have happened, maybe the deal doesn't happen. Maybe the trade doesn't go down. But again, this is a situation where Patrick Dumont has given Nico Harrison the ultimate trust, and Nico wanted to get this deal done. He made it happen, and, you know, they both said time will tell if it's right. You know, the early returns obviously haven't been kind, and then just the simple math isn't very favorable. By Nico's own words, you've created a 3-4 year time frame for a franchise that in successfully building a contender around Luka gave up the first round capital in 27, 28, 29, and 30. Mm. I took a long time to get through college, but if I'm starting to add that up, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, not at all. ESPN's Tim McMahon with us here in the G-Bag Nation. In regards to tomorrow night, it'll be the second night of a back-to-back for the Lakers. It looks like Luka's playing tonight. Is there any chance that he doesn't play tomorrow?
I mean, I guess there's a chance. I cannot imagine if Luka, you know, leaves Oklahoma City healthy that he wouldn't play and try to rip the Mavs' hearts out tomorrow night. I'll say this, he has played, I believe, in the last couple of back-to-backs for the Lakers. They had him, LeBron, and some others listed as questionable tonight. if they were going to decide to rest those guys one game or the other, I think it's pretty obvious it would have been tonight in OKC. But, you know, they're playing for seeding. I mean, it is a tightly packed group from 3 to 8. The Lakers are leading that pack right now, and, you know, I'm sure they'd like to hang on to the third seed if possible, but I just can't imagine Luka sitting out, you know, sitting in street clothes in his return game to Dallas. That would, you know what, you never say never, because I couldn't imagine that they'd trade him before the deadline, yeah, coming off the finals appearance. But that would, that'd be pretty stunning.
What do you expect fan reaction to be like?
So, one, it'll be a full house, which has not been the norm lately. Two, you're going to have whatever it holds, 19,000 and change, that are all wanting to see Luka put on an absolute show. And look, you guys, you know, you interact with fans, you live here, you understand, I think, what's likely to be the mixed emotions of a lot of people that are going to be in those seats tomorrow night, where you've got lifelong Mavs fans that are questioning their loyalty to a franchise. That was kind of, you know, in recent history, the last generation plus, the whole concept of the franchise has been based on loyalty with superstars. And obviously that's not the case now. So I think you've got a lot of Mavs fans that are thinking, are we more Luka fans and Mavs fans at this point? Are we adopting the Lakers? Mm-hmm. And then you've got the other people who are still like, hey, I'm a hardcore Mavs fan, but I'm always going to love that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say, like, Luka's flaws are very apparent. But Mavs fans, by and large, are either fiercely protective of him or extremely forgiving of him, and they all absolutely love the guy. And so I think tomorrow is going to be a surreal combination of a celebration of 6.5 spectacular seasons and the mourning that it wasn't much, much more than that, that they didn't get 16, 18, you know, however many years he plays in the league, that, you know, in the minds of fans, and I think rationally so, Luka's time in Dallas was cut short way before it needed to be.
What type of pregame tribute stuff do you expect?
You know, I don't know if it'll be – obviously, he's going to get a huge roar when he's introduced. I am told that there's a tribute video that has been prepared. I don't know when exactly that will play. You know, but the Mavs as an organization are in a really awkward place with this, yeah, because – you decided to trade him. You decided to dump him. And frankly, as an organization, you decided to publicly kind of humiliate him on the way out the door. And so now you're going to bring him back and have a lovey-dovey celebration. There's going to be some pretty extreme awkwardness involved here.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the organization is just in a weird place in general. I mean, you talked about this timeline now. I mean, how do you envision this thing moving forward? The three bigs, the defense, and the defense wins championships line that Nico sold. The mm-hmm. defense hadn't been there so far. I mean, how do you see this thing playing out into the offseason with Kyrie? Any other moves they can try to add to this thing?
Well, look, the Kyrie torn ACL was obviously an extremely unfortunate development and a disastrous development, because any hopes of competing for anything meaningful this season went kaput that night. And it really, really, really puts a major dent into next season. Like, we don't know how much time Kyrie's going to miss next season. We don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know if he's going to be able to get back to being the Kyrie that we saw this year, last year, for most of his career at any point next season. But if you've created a 3 to 4 year time frame, the first year is kaput, the second year is in serious jeopardy, man, that's rough. And obviously, they've got to find another guy who can be kind of a primary ball handler and creator for whatever time that Kyrie misses next season. And then Nico's history is that he takes big swings in the trade market. You know, I have been told that the Mavericks won't be aggressive in the market for Kevin Durant. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. You know, to be clear, I'm not reporting that they won't be. I'm just saying that I've been told they won't be. But, you know, there are times where you're told stuff that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
Tim, we've taken you really long already. If you got to go, just hang up on us. We appreciate it. I just had a few more. Do you think Nico would want Jokic?
I think any general manager in his right mind would want Jokic.
But do you think Nico would?
I would assume that, I mean, I think I kind of understand where you're going with that.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Okay. I guess actually winning the championship is the proof that I can get it done despite all my flaws.
Well, and look, like, again, I've been accused of being a Nico mouthpiece, as silly as that is. I think if I'm putting myself in his shoes, I would explain that Joker has made the kind of commitment to conditioning that Luka has. And the Joker did make that adjustment early in his career when he dropped a bunch of weight and, you know, kept it off. And, you know, the durability has been there, et cetera, et cetera. You know, hey, I'll also point out, getting myself out of supposed Nico mouthpiece mode, that Luka played more minutes than anybody in the league last year when you combine regular season and playoffs. So has he had his bumps and bruises? Yes. Is the calf strain a concern? You know, there's been four of them 28 months. Sure. But, you know, if you're going to trade somebody because you think his body's breaking down and you're trading for another superstar who has a durability injury, you know, a history of durability concerns, and he's 6 years older, again, there's a lot of situations here where the math ain't mathing.
Yes, sir. Well, we love it. We appreciate you, and have fun covering this thing tomorrow. We look forward to your reports.
I appreciate it, fellas. Adios, amigos.
Salute. Tim McMahon, ESPN, longtime ESPN guy. Yeah. The book, The Wonder Boy, available on Amazon now. And yeah, I mean, what Brada said, what Tim said, it's the best historical account of everything that's gone into Luka.
It is.
Even if you don't want to read about the controversy.
No, even if you don't want to read about the controversy, but he tells you the story with Rick Carlisle, Vegas Bob, with Donnie Nelson. I mean, there are so many things that are interesting in this book that he is able to kind of tie up the loose ends.
But my prediction for tomorrow, this is going to be closure. I think for some people, it is after this, it's going to be a lot easier just to sort of move on.
Yeah.
And, you know, not spend as much time talking about it. But ultimately, I think this becomes a Cowboys, Rangers, Stars town, right? I think there's going to be a core base of Mavs fans that are going to keep watching, and salute to those guys for keeping this thing alive, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think it makes a return to credibility, at least until the 2030s. Like when Tim McMahon said 4 years, I absolutely agree. I don't think you're going to have a chance to put this thing back together. And I can't imagine, you know, the meeting that's going to happen in that Adelson family when they realize what their idiot son-in-law did and the billions of dollars that I think it's going to cost them over the next decade. I don't think that's a stretch.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to become irrelevant here. It's going to go back to like the 80s where the Mavs were irrelevant on the NBA national scale. That's what you're looking at, you know, and you're not even going to be able to compete to try to be a playoff team. It's going to be, you're terrible. Your draft pick, which is in the top five, is going to another team because you wanted Porzingis or you know, something like this over the last couple of years.
Sucks.
And, you know, to me, that's a situation where it's impossible to find hope out of,
you
know? So tomorrow is the end. I'm so pissed at Nico. I think I would just be red in the face if I saw him in the street because of what he's taken away from the Dallas sports scene. And I imagine eventually he'll be fired, or maybe they'll sell the team out of lack of interest here in DFW. You know, I don't know how much of a viable product it is. They treated the fans like they were casino customers, that you could just abuse them and they're going to keep coming back. And I think now they are going to get their first massive lesson in what it is to be a pro sports owner. But, you know, tomorrow night, Luka in town. And as Tim said, it'll be a sellout. I'm sure the TV ratings will be great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Texas freshman Trey Johnson out of Lake Highlands announcing he's going to the draft as expected. Projected top five pick.
Hmm.
SEC freshman of the year, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists per game. He shot 37 from 3 and helped put Texas in the tournament. Check this out. He's 6'6 with a 6'10 wingspan, prototype for you know, an NBA 2 guard. And he's an incredible playmaker as well, slashing, the dribbling. It's all there.
This draft sounds like it might be okay, huh?
I mean, it's supposed to be a good draft.
Pretty deeper than most that we've had. I haven't looked at, but it just sounds like there's a lot of quality players in this thing. for some reason.
Former Notre Dame guard Olivia Miles transferring to TCU out of South Bend. So a big win for one of the best programs in the country right now out of TCU. Salute to everybody involved in that program. You guys have been doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
And I think they made it to the Elite Eight this year, which is the farthest they had ever been. Yep. Okay. How about some baseball news as we approach our final descent here into the Rangers pregame show, which is coming up at 6 o'clock here with Jared Sandler. Evan Carter left today's game in the bottom of the eighth inning for Round Rock.
Fingers.
He squared up to bunt and caught a ball off the finger, and now trainers are looking at his hand. Hopefully he's all right.
Hopefully.
But this story not going well. I think the best thing you can say about him in the, I think, six games he's played, he's walked five times. So he's trying to go back to being the patient, full-count Carter that was tormenting pitchers by just refusing to swing at anything that's not a strike. And I think that's probably a good idea for him. But another injury. Whew. That's bad luck. Josh Smith at first base tonight.
Kind of crazy that happens to big leaguers, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You lay the bunt down and bam, it's right there on your fingers.
Yeah.
You think that's like little league guys. Or,
people can't bunt.
Just inches to the game.
Yeah.
Can't bunt.
People can't, honestly. I mean, I'm watching all these baseball games now.
A lefty like him with that speed, he should be able to bunt.
Well, he's going lefty on lefty, and he's probably overthinking it because he can't hit the lefties.
It is amazing that, and I was at the game the other day, and guys are trying to square around and bunt, and they're fouling them off. They're missing them. It's just crazy how you can, that these teams cannot bunt anymore.
He was up against a lefty today when this happened?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's the whole point of him being down there.
Yeah, take hacks, bro.
Well, up till this game, they had sat him against good left-handed pitchers. They want to put him in against right-handed pitchers and crappy left-handed pitchers so he can try to get his confidence going.
Yeah,
so he's only played in six of their nine games.
Jeez.
I don't know. It's possible Evan Carter's played his last big league game. Josh Smith, first base tonight. I know that's a strong take, and maybe it's a little bit harsh.
No. You might be onto something.
His back is going to give out again. Like that procedure that he had, he's just trying to make the most of it right now because he doesn't know how many more games he has in baseball, period. Josh Smith's at first base tonight. Berger is out.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going so negative on a team that's 8-3. But I told you, Nathaniel Lota, Jake Berger, was a downgrade.
Oh, this is an overreaction. It's Berger's first off day of the season, all right? They're just giving him a resty.
Sure. As he's hitting what? What's his batting average?
Is it over 100? Right now. He's struggling. By the end of the year, Berger over low. Better season. Brisket Sandoz on it.
Whoa.
Wow, he just put it down like that.
I love it. Let's do it.
That's like a couple hundred buck bet right there.
No, it's just for Gavin and I. You guys can pay for yourselves.
Oh, $50. Let me get a bite.
I don't have it like Gavin does.
Well, you need to watch your mouth then.
Well,
this was a him and I. You guys see yourselves out of here.
No, this is a wee thing.
Anytime,
this is not just a Eunice. This is a weenus, my friend.
Anytime brisket sandwiches are involved, we're all involved.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm very confident. Nathaniel Lowe.
But what's the measurement here? We just going dongs or like war?
No, not.
What is it? War?
We can go with war.
OPS?
If you'd like. You want to go OPS? War?
Let's
slugging
do war.
Percentage? War? All right, let's war.
I feel good about the slugging, old Chuck.
I feel great about the slugging. I'd like to keep the slugging.
Jack Leiter throwing a bullpen today. The blister is healing.
Trying to help.
Heading the right direction?
Yeah.
Didn't need Brian's finger after all.
I just thought I'd ask the president of the club if he needed some help.
Josh Young, can he do my part.
I hate the way he shot that down. That frustrates me.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
You know what?
He wasn't here for a good sports finger conversation.
If we hadn't been interviewing him for a couple years now, I would have never done that.
I think that was his sense of humor. He doesn't show us a sense of humor very often.
I was trying.
I think he was trying to yuck it up. Like, oh yeah, Broadus.
Yeah.
You know,
I was trying.
Your old slow finger, man.
Yeah. Actually, he probably gave you a bump with the 68 mphs.
I think he's coming out
at 32.
I can't throw. My right shoulder's on fire right now.
Aren't you probably looking at forearm, tricep, shoulder, rotator cuff type of muscles? I think the fingers are just the spin.
Yeah, I thought it, to me.
Yeah, his curveball might be off. But
at least it's got skin on it. I mean, his other one doesn't have skin.
I mean, you're giving him a fully skinned finger.
That's what I'm saying.
I just turned it down like that.
No, thank you.
No.
You keep your finger.
Josh Young was 2-for-5 in his two games in Frisco. He's back tonight in the lineup, right, Wolchuk?
Yep. He is back.
Ooh, Jungle Cat's going to be purring tonight. Yep. I got a Jungle Cat homer.
He's back, and he's batting seventh, playing third.
This was one of the secrets to the World Series sauce.
It was.
Josh Young. I mean, when he has been out over the last 2.5 years, it's been bad. And when he's in... You're good.
He looked good in Frisco.
When he's been out the last 2.5 years.
Yeah. A lot of injuries. A lot of injuries with this guy.
He's been good, but the last 2.5 years when he's been out, he's been bad.
He's my pick to click. The team's been bad when he's out.
That's no question.
Big loss.
No question. He's like the straw that stirs the drink. Yep. Gavin, tomorrow is not going to be the end. Tomorrow is going to anger everyone all over again. I hope the whole game fans do not stop chanting. Yeah. Are they going to be rooting for Luka tomorrow?
Yes.
I imagine.
Yes. I think a lot
the cheers will be louder for Lakers.
The Fire Nico chants, Bleep Dumont chants are going to echo throughout the entire country. Yeah, I think we're going to see a record-setting number of 77 purple and gold road player in a home arena. That I think is what we're going to just see.
Wear their Mavs
jerseys. A sea of yellow.
Well, it'll be Luka's in Mavs or Lakers unis.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to wear their Mavs jerseys too.
Well, if anybody out there still wants to hate the Lakers, I'm your guy. You know, we could start a Beat LA chant. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's too soon for you, but you know,
we don't have the capacity.
We can go after Luka together. You know, I mean, I'm more of a team guy than a player guy, right? And the guy did not work out very hard. He did not get back on defense. He was constantly complaining about the refs. Like, out of the things that people complain about with the NBA, he's a ball hog. He you know, he doesn't share it. He dribbles it too much. Luka did all those. Luka did all of the things that usually I hate the NBA guy complains about with the NBA. So I could go there with you. Now, I know that might offend a lot of people, and you love Luka more than anything else in sport, okay? Yeah. And I'm here to take your arrows. But also for the people that truly hate the Lakers and are
fans. And you hate
fans,
the Lakers.
And
you
are fans the of the Mavs. Uh-huh. You know, this should be our golden era of Laker hate. I don't know. Maybe next year. Maybe after we process this Luka grieving.
It's going to be tough, though. I don't think tomorrow's the end. You'll get some closure, but when you see him dancing on somebody for 40-plus in a playoff game, that's going to
It's really only gotten worse.
I don't think it's going away.
We'll see. I got to kind of let it play out. You know, let it just all happen, see how you feel in the moment. But, I don't see it going away.
It is one of those games that I don't know how I'm going to feel going in.
It's gonna be so awkward. I mean, weird.
The first experience watching him play the Mavs, it was the weirdest experience I've ever had watching sports. It was just ridiculous.
Tim Kalishaw wrote today, it was a disaster of Babe Ruthian proportions.
Oh.
Maybe overselling it a little bit, but not totally. Bruce Bochy showing confidence in Evan Carter says, it's fair to say we've got some guys that haven't hit that groove yet. I'll keep saying it. They will. Oh, no. He's talking about his lineup in general here. Bruce Bochy. Pregame's coming up in 5 minutes. I think it's easy for Bochy to have patience. He's been doing this for 4,000 games, you know.
You're going to say years.
I think you're right.
It probably comes very, very natural to him, but I don't know if I could be built for that. You know,
that's evident.
After losing and watching things go bad, I can't sit there and be like, everything's fine.
Yeah, no, you're in here too, buddy.
For what? You know,
it's the knee jerk. My gosh, they lost a game. Season's over. It's done. They stink.
It was all of last year.
You guys are the knee jerk.
It was all of last year. I know.
The knee jerk. It's official.
You guys are the nosebleeds or the knee jerk.
Yes.
If this offense stinks and we're like 25 games in, I'll start to panic a little bit with you.
How about you give us an apology? Thank you. You give us credit for panicking early because this is what you do. You say it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. We're going to hit. And then when you don't, you say, well, what do you want to do about it now?
They'll have to go and fix it.
I just want you to acknowledge that panicking right now might be the move. You know, panicking right now instead of being like, "Oh, this is going to be fine." You have you're 5 games over 500 right now. You're first place in the division,
and I'm thrilled about it. Thank God.
And you should be. They're lucky to be here. Alejandro Rosario,
you can't stress about everything.
Still hasn't had the Tommy John surgery. I don't know why.
That's 6 weird.
Weeks out.
I don't know what's going on. That I'm worried about.
We got to run. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh just went 4 flawless. We'll be on tomorrow after the game, although weather is threatening it, so not sure when exactly that's going to be. Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video, Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Broadus. Until tomorrow after the game, I'm Gavin Dawson, and you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Eddie's.